Happy Sunday, Bucks fans. The Best in Class podcast with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is here today with a comprehensive running backs breakdown as you figure out who the Bucks might want to select, but of course, who these backs are in a class that's being undervalued. Sean is all over it. He's also the GM at Bill Curry Ford, which sponsors the podcast. He'll tell you about that. And Sean, of course, always has an eye toward the Bucks, and even in this episode, an eye toward how some Bucks fans are treating Ira Kaufman. But plenty here. Enjoy. Go Bucks. Here's Sean.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. Very excited to go over the running backs with you today. There's been a lot of press about this running back class not being impressive. I don't know where that's coming from. I think that you don't have a lot of first-round draft picks in this just because of the downplay on the importance of a running back. And then people have been finding gold in the later rounds. It doesn't take away the effect that this running back draft is extremely deep, and it has a running back for every offense that you want, and you're going to find a lot of these guys going in the third and fourth round are going to be starters in the NFL, and we're going to run through that. But first, a moment from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, the Giant, is now open. The state-of-the-art showroom, the amazing, the store that it is just so stunning for Tampa, and it's in the right position being on Dalmabry, which is close to South Tampa, Beach Park, Palmasia, and that whole South Tampa area with this new midtown that Venick built. It is in the absolute right area, the beautification of Tampa with this gorgeous dealership. If you haven't seen it, you have to come and just walk through it and just see that it's the largest of its kind in the United States, the largest service drive. We now have mobility vans working from your house now on the road. We now have pickup and delivery for our guests by appointment. We have a lot of amazing things going on right now at Bill Curry Ford, not to mention the fact that we are doubling your tax return up to $5,000. So all you do is you come into the dealership, you can find the vehicle online, and we'll double your down payment. And that's a real thing that's going on right now with our lifetime warranty. Find us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials right there. You can see a very giant inventory that we have. Pre-owned, we are becoming one of the largest pre-owned certified Ford stores in the country. Can't wait to release those numbers when they come out. The selection is tremendous. My team is tremendous. Follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, all those things, all those social media things that are really fun. Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Tampa. Let's get into my number one running back. Oh, you know what? Steve, I have a small little thing I want to say. I listened to the Joe Bucks Band podcast, and Ira was getting some feedback from Joe Bucks fan listeners about, you know, wanting Brock Bowers in the first round, and or possibly getting a quarterback if they fell to 26. I think there's a disconnect between people who are actively involved in the NFL, like Joe Bucks fan, who are talking to the players and coaches. You have to understand that you don't just prepare for one season in the NFL. You have to think long-term on every single draft that you're doing. If we draft a wide receiver, it's because Godwin's, we're not going to be renewing Godwin's contract. If we drafted a linebacker last year knowing that most likely we weren't going to renew Devin White's contract, all of these things have to be done with years of thought. And I'm going to give you an analogy. In the car business, when you see a new car come out, let's just say the new 24 F-150, which is a brilliant vehicle, right? It has a new power boost hybrid, which is going to be, not only do you get the power of an ICE engine, but you also get the fuel efficiency of a hybrid. Anyway, that's 9 years of design that comes out in 2024. So they started working on that vehicle in 2015. I just want you to think about that. That's how the business works. You cannot go into the 2024 draft going, oh, we have a hole at guard. We possibly need a center. We might need a corner. You can't just go in and say, let's just go after these specific players. When we're talking about Brock Bowers, we're talking about a once-in-a-generation talent guy, right? So you're talking about the Travis Kelce guy, and Ira's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm sure he sees the impact that Kelce's had on Patrick Mahomes' career. You see how Gronk impacted Tom Brady's career. You know, Tony Gonzalez, another one. There's these impact guys that are like, and again, Brock Bowers is my number two wide receiver. So just get this and understand that He's a combination of a blocking tight end and a receiving tight end. It's extremely important for you to see 15 yards a catch. He's pretty much unguardable. When he's healthy, he is the best player in the country as an offensive weapon besides quarterback. And that's what I think he's saying. It's like, if you have a chance at, in the low end of the first round, to get a like a guy that's going to put on a uniform and market the Bucks for the next 10 years, just think about the marketability if you're a Glazer, right? You have to, as a fan, who on the Bucks right now is marketable for this team to sell tickets, to sell nationally? We don't get any national pub, and we get very, very little respect because we have no marketable players. You don't have a marketable quarterback or running back. That's a household name. Baker Mayfield's a household name because he was number one overall pick, but not because of his play, even though he played extremely well last year, yes. But as you can see, his marketability is not terrific. Our running back is a wonderful running back, but he does not have a big name, right? We have an aging Hall of Fame wide receiver, right? Offensive line, you have Tristan Wirfs, but no one really cares about the offensive line. Defensively, you don't have a defensive player that's a household name currently. Maybe Winfield because he was an all-pro, but who on earth is going to market at safety? That's just not a big deal, right? You need key positions. Brock Bowers puts on a Bucks jersey, the national media notices. I'm just telling you. Or Marvin Harrison Jr. puts on a Bucks uniform. Doesn't matter. But that's the kind of level I'm talking about. You know, Caleb Williams puts on a Bucks jersey. Next thing you know, we have all these national televised games, and we're marketable again. I just want you to understand from a business standpoint, it's not just about Brock Bowers. It's about what he brings to the team if he's selected. Now, as far as the quarterbacks are concerned, this is a quarterback draft. There are six quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round. I believe that this is the most underrated quarterback class I've ever seen. And I think people are just tired of talking about it. And they're just finding ways to say Bo Nix is in a first-round draft pick, which is stupid. Or Penix is not a first-round draft pick, which, again, is just people need to be drug tested. These are guys that will start in the NFL and be successful. And I'm telling you, if one of these guys, I don't think it's going to happen. But if one of these guys is at 26, guys, do you think you're going to the Super Bowl if you draft a guard from Duke in the first round or you draft a edge rusher, which I know Steve wants, which I would love to have an edge rusher in the first round, but it has to be the right one. I don't want a project. I don't want a guy that didn't have sacks in college like Owe, you know, like Chop Robinson. I don't want projects. It takes 2 or 3 years for these guys to develop anyway. They're not going to make an instant impact on our team. Now, someone like Verse is there at 20. Yes, you trade up and you get Gervard Verse out of Florida State, right? Because he's a power pass rusher that can make an impact day one. He's physically strong enough and big enough to handle the NFL as his rookie year. I agree with you, but we'll get into what the Bucks are doing. But my point is, stop messing with Ira. Ira is thinking exactly what a GM of the Buccaneers should be. And by the way, he's the only one that out of all of us guys and all of the Joe Bucks fan listeners, which I'm included, that actually talks to the GM and the owners, right? So let's give him the credit that he deserves and the respect that he deserves. All right, let's go. My first running back right off the board. Now, my running back positions are going to surprise people because I'm not into all of the hype. I'm into tape and production. Right now, my number one running back is Trey Benson out of Florida State. 6 foot, 216 pounds, ran a 4.39 40. He's a finisher. He's the closest to Jahmyr Gibbs from last year, which I was, you know, really, really high on in this draft. He's big, strong down runner, right? Rushes extremely well, 5.8 yards a carry, has really good vision. In 2023, he had 905 yards and 14 touchdowns. He also catches the ball extremely well, 20 catches for 227 and a touchdown. But that 4.39 speed is a deal breaker. He gets that little crease, man, and he's going to take it to the end zone. And that's what we're lacking right now. Rashard White gets to tough yards, right? Do we have a guy that can take it to the end zone? I don't think that we're going to be in the market for Trey Benson because I think he's going to be the first running back off the board. But I really think that, man, he makes such a difference in the Bucks, right? So amazing long speed. He constantly finds the creases. His burst and acceleration off the line is probably number two in this draft, and we'll talk about that. He's got great balance, which is all I care about in a running back, is balance and his ability to move left to right, not just north and south. His vision is exceptional. Pass catching, He's a very, very, very good receiving back. So Trey Benson's my number one guy. For me, this next guy that we're going to talk about would have been my number one guy had he not had the ACL injury, and that's Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. 6 foot, 207 pounds, 4.45, 40. Brooks is the most NFL-ready running back in this class if he was healthy. And that's nothing to take away from Trey Benson. Trey Benson is a guy, you know, that I think gets 15 touches a game. Jonathan Brooks is a very similar to how they use King Henry. You would give Jonathan Brooks 25 touches a game. He's just so strong and physical. Again, he hurt his ACL, which is a tough injury to come back from. Before that, he was averaging 6.1 yards per carry for 11.39 and 10 touchdowns. He also had 25 catches for 286 and another touchdown. This guy has this ability to physically beat his defense. He can wear you down until he breaks these long runs. He's got incredible balance, incredible vision. And Lee DeKemper will love this. This is a breaking tackle machine. You cannot tackle Jonathan Brooks. He is elusive. He is very difficult to get to the ground. Even when you tackle him, he still goes forward for another yard, which is really impressive. So if you watch the Kansas game, he had 21 carries for 218 yards. He was averaging 11 yards a carry and two touchdowns before they set him. It was insane. Just watch his moves and the way he – it doesn't matter how good Kansas is as a defense. I'm watching the player. I'm watching how he moves, and he's extremely elusive. And I absolutely love Jonathan Brooks. I hope he's healthy. I hope he comes back from that injury well. But right now, Trey Benson's my number one guy. Jonathan Brooks is my number two guy. Rounding out number three is Blake Corum out of Michigan. A lot of carries for Blake Corum. Lee DeKemper doesn't like running backs and have a lot of carries in college. Blake Corum in 2022 had such an impressive year. He was the best running back in his region. And I'm telling you, that injury that Blake Corum had, you saw him play on his injury in 2023 where he still did 4.8 yards a carry, 1,245 yards, and 27 touchdowns. That has a lot to do also with the pro offense they were running. But again, you don't score 27 touchdowns on the ground and not be an extremely good running back. He had 16 receptions for 117 yards. It doesn't mean he can't catch, but you really don't have a good amount of plays to see how good his hands are. He's definitely a starter in the NFL. He had 30 reps at 225 at the combine. 30 reps. That's more than offensive linemen, defensive linemen. He's one of the strongest players in the draft for his size. I love that. He definitely does these amazing jump cuts where at the line of scrimmage, he recognizes the defense, jumps to his left or to right. And when I say jumps, it's a full yard. I mean, he is amazing at these jump cuts. Now, if he hadn't had that injury, Blake Corum probably would be the number one running back in this class, and that includes with Jonathan Brooks. That's how good Blake Corum is. I think he's going to be a very, very good starter. It just depends on this injury. Again, he was like a poor man's Blake Corum in 2023. So I'm hoping that a year removed from his injury, he's going to be sensational, kind of like the Jonathan Brooks thing. If you want to watch a great game with Blake, watch the national championship game against Washington, 21 carries, 134 yards, 6.3 yards a carry, and two TDs. And that was a really solid performance. Blake Corum was pretty much unstoppable. Washington had a good run defense all year. Again, running out the first three, Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, and Blake Corum. Now, these are three starters in the NFL. So this whole thing about, hey, we don't have really great running backs in this draft, that's all just nonsense. It has to do with the value of where they want. And again, I'm okay with the Bucs getting any of these guys. All of these guys are starters. All of these guys would be a great complement to Rashard White. But I really think they're going to be looking for a guy that can catch the ball and run the ball. A really good combination like Rashard White. My number four overall guy is going to surprise a lot of people. And it's Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. He's 5'11", 227. He ended up running a 4.56 at his pro day. He rushed for 6.4 yards at Notre Dame, 1,341 yards, 18 touchdowns. He had 17 receptions for 142. Now, he demonstrates amazing patience. So he's very similar to a lot of the patient running backs of the last few years. I think he reminds me of Arian Foster. If you remember Arian Foster, he had a couple of really amazing years before the injuries got onto him. But constantly gaining yards, he falls forward for yards. He's very difficult to tackle. Here's my thing about this guy. I watch his film, and he's going to drop because of his 40 time. It doesn't show on the field. Really something interesting about Estime is if you guys really get into scouting like I do, I spend a lot of time looking at at the GPS and how fast a player plays on the field, not just what they're running at the 40 time. Here's the interesting thing. Estime had the second best GPS running while he was at Notre Dame than all the other running backs in this draft, but one. And I'll tell you who that was. So even though he ran a 4.56, when he was in the open field, he got up to the highest mile per hour speed, which, again, for his size and his physicality, the way he breaks tackles. Oh, and by the way, he has the biggest hands in the draft. Why is that important for a running back? It's very important for ball security, and it's also going to mean that he probably can catch the ball, even though he only had 17 receptions. There might be a hidden guy in here for receiving. There's something about this guy that screams star. This guy might be a star in the NFL. And it's just, it's really hard because a lot of people are going to go, oh, Sean, you're being ridiculous. Everybody's down on this guy. Remember what I'm saying right now on April 7th. Audric Estime is going to be a first-class NFL running back and possibly a star. Watch the Stanford game, 25 carries for 238 yards, 10 yards a carry, and he had 4 TDs against Stanford. The guy, it's just like Blake Corum, it's very difficult to tackle him, and Jonathan Brooks. So there's a lot these guys have in common. They're very hard to tackle. Trey Benson obviously is a little bit different because he just creates a lot of space between him and the defenders. But between Jonathan Brooks and Blake Corum and Audric Estime, they're very, very hard to get to the ground. I love that about a running back. My number 5 running back is a darling out of Tennessee that Mel Kiper absolutely loves, Jalen Wright. 5'11", 210, ran a 4.38, super physical. Like, again, he almost runs into contact to punish the defender. He had 7.4 yards a carry, which is incredible for 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. He only carried the ball 137 times. Caught the ball 22 times. Very difficult to really get a feel for his hands. He's a violent runner. In my notes, I put violent, violent, violent. He is going to beat you up. And not only is he going to beat you up, he's going to use his 4.38 speed to get away from you after he runs into you. Listen, linebackers in the NFL are going to hate Jalen Wright. So again, here's another guy that you're like, is the NFL really sleeping on these running backs? Because these are game winners. These are difference makers. And also Jalen Wright has some breakaway speed that you can see some of his runs where he runs through the tackle of a linebacker and then beats the safety to the corner of the end zone. And he does it. And you're watching it, and you're like, man, that's impressive. Jalen Wright is impressive. Like, I don't know where all this – again, you guys are going to listen to my podcast. I'm going to get really mad about the fact that they're really downplaying these running backs. But if you watch the Texas A&M game, Texas A&M had a really good team, 19 carries, 136 yards, 7 yards a carry. But these 5 guys right here are NFL starters. Let's get into my number 6 guy, Ray Davis out of Kentucky. Some people say, oh, he's a 4th or 5th or 6th round draft pick. Don't know what they're watching. Ray Davis is a 5'8 compact, 211-pound back. He absolutely looks like a running back. At the combine, if you look at him, he fits the Bill Parcells mold for running back because of his shape. He looks like he's pear-shaped. The guy looks like a larger Tony Dorsett, and that's who he reminds me of. He's very physical, again, averaged 5.7 yards a carry, 11.29, and 14 touchdowns. This guy has great hands, 33 receptions for 323 yards and 7 scores. This is the great combination of running and passing that the Bucs are looking for. Also, Leon Cohen was his coach last year, and he is the new offensive coordinator for the Bucs. So who better to know out of the running backs? I think Ray Davis finds his way onto the Bucs roster. And I think that's going to be really interesting because I really love this guy. He's powerful. He breaks tackles. He gains yards after contact, which is going to make Lee Kemper super happy. Here's the thing. He has some of the best vision in this draft. What are we constantly talking about with Rashard White? We love Rashard White, but what's his knock? His vision. He's missing open holes on the offensive line. There's an article on Joe Bucks Fan where Rashard White was talking about, leave the offensive line alone. I'm missing some holes. I need to do a better job of seeing vision. How about you add Ray Davis to our roster and watch a guy that is very cerebral, understands pre-snap, understands where the defense is going to be, and he's going to find that hole, and he's going to run right through it with power. I just love him. I think he should be a Buck. I think between Davis and I love all these guys. I can't lie. I'm going to go over some guys I don't like, but I mean I do love all these guys. But as far as the best fit for the Bucks, I think Ray Davis is going to be one of the third round draft picks. I think Lynn Combs is going to love having him, and I think he's going to fit right in with what we're doing offensively. And I think he doesn't really need to learn the offense, does he? Right? I think Lynn Combs is going to have a very good understanding. All right, so my man crush on Ray Davis, I'm going to move on to Mashaun Lloyd out of USC. I watched Caleb Williams every play, every snap for 2 years, right? So, again, I got to watch Mashaun Lloyd. He was a transfer, from South Carolina. So 5'8", 220, 4'4", 6", compact build, down-the-field runner. I love him around the goal line. He averaged 7.1 yards a carry. Just think about that, 7 yards a carry. And 9 touchdowns. He had 13 receptions. Not a big way to see if he has good hands. He was a star at the Senior Bowl. Some project him as a starting running back. Some have him as a backup running back. He has great burst off the line. Great through transitions. Can stop and start, which I love. Not as much of a jump cutter as some of the other running backs. He does have some long speed, so he can turn a play into a touchdown. But that start-stop, I think out of all of the running backs in this draft, Mashaun Lloyd has the best start-stop in the draft. But I don't know how that translates to the NFL as far as that start-stop. Is it going to give him the ability to get out into the open field? But here's the thing. Mashaun Lloyd is a starter in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be a starter from day one, but he's going to work his way into that. I think he's being slept on, and I think Lloyd is a much better running back than he's been given credit for. And I think if you watch a lot of this USC tape, you're going to see him as a star. And you're like, man, he's not getting the attention that he deserves. My number 8 running back, Braylon Allen, running back Wisconsin. Mike Alstott clone. This is the closest I've seen to Mike Alstott since I've been breaking down running back. 6'1", 235, 4'4", 40. He is the strongest running back, I think, offensive player in the entire draft. I think he's stronger than offensive linemen. If you see his gym, not that it matters if he's a gym rat, but it does matter that he's in great shape. His freshman year, he started when he was 18 years old. He was at 6.8 yards a carry for 1268 and 12 touchdowns. He ran for 1,242 yards the next year at 5.4 when defenses really understand him. And last year, he rushed for another 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns. He also caught 28 balls, which is surprising because you didn't know if he had hands, but he really showed this past year that he can catch the ball really smoothly. But if the Bucs are looking for a complement of not speed to the end zone, if they believe that Rashard White can give them that, and they're looking for that power where it's the 3rd-and-1 guy, 3rd-and-4 guy, or in the second half, Lynn Combs and Todd Bowles are going to run a beat on the defense, like wear them down in the sun of the Florida sun, this is your guy. Braylon Allen will beat the defense up. He's hard to tackle. People are going to get tired of tackling him, especially in the second half. His combination of size and strength is unlike anyone else in the draft, for sure. His vision, on the other hand, I think if his vision was better, you're talking about, definitely a second-round draft pick, for sure. So we'll see how that goes for Braylon Allen. But again, he's a guy that the Buccaneers fans who love Mike Alstott, he's one of the greatest players ever to play for us. I still have him under contract at Bill Curry Ford. He does a lot of stuff for us. He is a great guy. Everybody loved watching him play. This is a very, very similar player. And if you guys haven't watched any tape on Braylon Allen, please do. It's amazing. My next running back is Bucky Irving out of Oregon, 5'9", 192, 4'5". The thing that I like about him, he's like a shifty change of pace running back. 6.3 yards a carry, 1180 on the ground, 11 touchdowns. Great receiver, 56 catches for 2 touchdowns, 413. So this is a great combination of running back and receiver. This is not an every down back. This is a guy that's going to be a complimentary back, like a Kenneth Gainwell kind of deal. 19 for 118 in a TD against USC was a pretty good game for him. I believe that the offense at Oregon opened a lot up for him with Bo Nix. I think that it helped him quite a bit, but he's just a solid back. I think he's a solid number 2 back in the NFL. He's going to give your starter some breathing, but then he has the opportunity, like Kenneth Gainwell, to make an impact in the receiving game. So that's Bucky Irving. My next guy, when I watched Michael Penix, I watched every snap of Michael Penix. I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be a gunslinger. It's Boomer Esiason all over again. I think he's going to be a Raider. But and the Atlanta Falcons are really high on him. So I think between the Falcons and the Raiders, that's where he's going. Dylan Johnson, right? If you didn't watch Washington play, 5'11", 217. He ran a slower 40 time at 4.68. This guy is a sleeper. I absolutely love his size and strength. The guy is a classic, like, downhill runner. He reminds me of, like, the Giants, you know, with Otis Anderson, where they just pound the guy in there and he gets the yards. That's what Dylan Johnson's like. He's just keep giving him the ball. He'll get you 4 yards, 4.2 yards a carry. Steve said in his podcast, just give me a guy that you can draft in the fourth round that can do 4.2 yards a carry. That's Dylan Johnson. He can definitely do that. He's big and strong, breaks a lot of tackles. Lee will love that. And I think his passing, his receiving is a little underrated because he is an excellent route runner. So in that offense at Washington, he had to be. The one thing I liked about him is he doesn't have any give up. Like, watch his tape. He reminds me of Ingram, who played for Alabama and then played for the New Orleans Saints, where Ingram would get tackled and then he would push forward for another half yard every single time, or push forward for another full yard. It was very difficult to stop him even as he was going to the ground. Dylan Johnson's like that. It's like he pushes the ball forward. He like fights for half a yard. Dylan Johnson doesn't run out of bounds, right? He will take on the linebacker and push forward. He doesn't care if it's just 1 yard. He is going to earn it. He is going to make that defense stop him. Watch this Southern California game. He had 26 carries for 256 yards and 10 yards, and he had 4 TDs. You want to know why he was so good in that game? Because they got tired of trying to take him to the ground because he was so physical with them. And again, 5'11", 217 doesn't seem like he's big enough. He's just got that dog in him. He's got like that anger. He just runs angry and violent. So, I mean, man, I love him, right? I think this is a guy you look for in the fourth or fifth round if the Bucs don't want to grab a guy in the third round. And Dylan Johnson's that guy. Will Shipley is my next guy to Clemson, 5'11", 206, ran a 4.5. Just a solid guy. This guy's going to be a number two guy in the NFL. I think he's going to be a really good change of pace guy. He averaged 5 yards, 827 yards his senior year, 5 touchdowns. He had 31 receptions for 244 and 2 scores. He had 38 catches the year before. Just a solid special teams second guy, can come in on third down, catch the ball. Nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing really exciting about Will Shipley. He's just solid, played at a good program. Isaac Rendo, the reason why I have him on this list out of Louisville is because he was the fastest running back at the combine at 4.33. I think he's a fifth-round draft pick. I think he's going to go higher because of his 4.3. He averaged 6 yards a carry for 810 yards and 11 touchdowns. He caught 22 passes for 234. A lot of guys are going, oh, he's a sleeper. He's a sleeper, right, because of his 4.3 time. It doesn't show on tape. And the reason why I brought up Estime was because Estime, on the GPS tracker that they use for college football, has the same top end speed as Isaac Grindo, who ran a 4.33 at the combine, and Estime ran a 4.68. Again, that track straight line speed that you train for doesn't necessarily mean anything in the NFL. It could mean something, sure, but it's not an absolute. I'm not saying Grindo's not going to be a good player in the NFL, but right now he hasn't shown me anything other than some speed at the combine. Between him and Estime, I would take Estime 10 out of 10 times. And that's not a knock on this guy. I'm just saying, to me, they're just not comparable running backs. Garendo looks to me like a special teams backup in the NFL. My next guy is Dylan Lube out of New Hampshire. I put this guy in late. I didn't watch, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you, I watched a bunch of New Hampshire football. I did not, right? I've read a bunch about this guy. Coaches really like him. So I went back and watched New Hampshire. They don't play anybody, right? And the guy averaged 4.5 yards a carry at New Hampshire for 715 yards and 9 touchdowns. Now, here's the thing. He's a receiver. He caught 70 passes. That is white territory, right? That's what White did in college at Arizona. And I'm telling you, this guy, Dylan, is going to be like a pass catcher. You know, a guy that's going to run the ball twice, catch 5 passes, something like that. This guy's a third-round draft pick. I'm sorry, third round. This guy's a fifth-round draft pick, most likely. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to make the team for special teams. He's going to be a third-down back in the NFL. I personally think he's being overly rated because of his Senior Bowl and his combine numbers. Yeah, so he practiced well. I get all that. He should have had better production for New Hampshire than he did. And at 5'9", 206, yeah, he's very compact. The guy's ripped. The guy's definitely in great shape. And he has really great hands. He demonstrated that. But does that make him, you know, a starter in the NFL? It does not. But he's a complimentary back. Kendall Milton is my next running back out of Georgia, 6'1", 225. He ran a 4.62. Listen, the reason why I put a Georgia running back on there is because they just all seem to be good, right? Doesn't matter if you like him or not. He had 121 carries for 790 yards, 6.5 yards average, with the best offensive line in football, and Beck, which had a really strong year at quarterback. The prior year, though, he averaged 7 yards a carry, and he had 8 touchdowns. He ran. I think he flashed like in the 22. In 23, he was a little down. But here's a guy you can get, like what Steve said. Give me a guy I can draft in the 5th round that can get me 4.2 yards a carry. That's your Kendall Milton. I don't think he does anything special. I think that he just follows his blocking schemes. He runs hard. He doesn't fumble. His hands are okay. He reminds me a lot of Zamir White, who played at Georgia previously, who went into the draft a couple years ago. But I think Georgia has this knack for – it could be the running backs coach at Georgia, but they seem to really have a knack for having really NFL-ready running backs. But I'm not going to say Kendall Milton is he's not a star. He's just a guy that the top-end ceiling could be really good. He just hasn't shown it yet. He's shown flashes, but he hasn't put everything together. Again, but there's a guy you draft. Give him 10 carries a game to spell your starter, and he's going to be solid. All right, ready for my sleeper. All right, my sleeper is the son of Frank Gore. So Frank Gore Jr., running back out of Southern Myth, 5'8", 201, ran a 4.5. Let me just tell you why he's my sleeper. This guy's not going to go early in the draft. He's going to go super late. And let me just tell you, he has a pedigree. He's worth taking a shot at. He had 4.9 yards a carry, 1,131 yards, 10 touchdowns, 27 yards, 221, and 3 scores. He averaged 6 over his entire career, 6 yards a carry and 9 touchdowns. He's small, tough, just like his dad. But I just want you to think about the coaching he's had since he was a kid. He's had professional coaching. He's NFL ready right now, depending on what his talent level is. And he has one of the greatest running backs, in my opinion, of all time, who had a tremendous NFL career, who overcame two ACL injuries and still ran in the NFL. Even after they told him he wasn't going to make it more than 3 seasons, the guy went over 10 seasons in the NFL. This DNA, whatever it is in Frank Gore Jr., that like amazing physical DNA of a running back. I'm not going to say that this guy might be a 5th, 6th round draft pick. He could even be a free agent sign, just depending on how much teams like him. But here's a guy that I think can make an NFL roster and spell someone. And let me just tell you something. With a little luck, the reason why I call him a sleeper, but with a little luck and being on the right team, let's just say he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid gets a hold of him. You don't know what can happen with these guys. Can they become a star or at least a starter? If Frank Gore Jr. becomes a starter in the NFL, that will be an amazing rise for him. I just think that we shouldn't be ignoring him, and I think that there's something there, and I wish him and his family the very best. That concludes my running back draft. I hope you guys got a really good understanding of what this class represents, because it is very, 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 very good depth-wise. You might not have your Bijan Robinson this year or your Jahmyr Gibbs, but what you do have is you have 10 to 12 players that are going to contribute right away in the NFL and be solid starters or backups right away. I think the depth of the running back position is tremendous. Again, I have my eyes on one player, and that's Ray Davis, which I really like, and I like Estime a lot for the Bucks, because I don't think they're going to be drafting any higher than that. I don't think they're going to have a chance at Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks. I think those guys are going to go soon. But let me just tell you something. I'm not saying I wouldn't love them to draft Trey Benson. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to draft that high a running back. But I think Ray Davis falls right in there. I don't think Blake Corum is going to fall, but Estime might fall. Jalen Wright, Estime, Ray Davis, anywhere in there, man. Just Mershon Lloyd, any of those guys in that little area right there, man, we are going to be set. You guys are going to be like, man, Sean was right. These guys can play. All right, follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com. See all of our amazing specials. Go online and schedule your mobility service at your home, so we can come out and change your oil right in your own driveway. If you have a recall and you don't feel like coming in, don't worry. We can send a van to you. Or if you prefer to come in and drop your car off and speak to a rep right in front of you, a professional, no problem. We have an amazing loaner service, so we can do pickup and delivery. We have all of those things by appointment, so we have a lot of stuff going on. Please come and visit us 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. I'd like to thank Bill Curry Ford and the Curry family and Steve and Lee and Ira and the Joe Bucks fan gang for allowing me to do my podcast. Go Bucks!